Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald from Ghost Hunters International, and you're listening to Para Investigators Radio.
EIR Radio is mainly an opinion paranormal talk show. All opinions, comments, or statement of facts expressed by PIR Radio's guests are strictly their own and do not represent or to be endorsed by PIR Radio, ASPRN, Paranormal Radio Network, and their affiliates or sponsors.
Welcome to PIR Radio. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal Society and www.hauntedtube.com. Let's now go get your paranormal radio experience with your hosts, Kurt Smith and Bill Horton.
That's right, it's Monday, and you know it's PIR Radio time, as always, Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central Time, live on the Paranormal Radio Online Network. You can also hear us on the PPRN Radio Network. Welcome to everyone over there listening to the show. We have a great show lined up. We have a great guest with us from Missouri, Joplin, Missouri. It's Nick Corey from Jasper Hunts. But before we get with our guest, you know, as always, we have a little housework we have to do. Don't forget to check out our website. It's www.pirradio.com. There's a forum on there now, so if you want to join the forum and interact with other PIR Radio listeners, we'd love to have you come aboard. Don't forget also on the front page we have the fan page for PIR Radio. If you're not a fan yet, go ahead and check it out and become a fan of PIR Radio. Also, don't forget when PIR is live on Pro, or whenever there's a live show on Pro, you can catch them now on like StreamFinder, Radio Time, and also UpSnap. You can find Pro on all those. You can even listen to them on your smartphone. The streams will stream to your smartphone. So if you can't listen to PIR Radio live on the internet, you can listen to us live on your phone now. So check it out if you get a chance. As always, I have my host with me, the host from It's Always I don't know what it is today. It's always shaking in Philadelphia. Bill.
It's actually sunny in Philadelphia today, Kurt, I might add, and warm. It was a nice day. Beautiful sunny day. No more snow, no more rain. Well, rain's to come, but, it's pretty good. I'm sure you have similar weather out there, huh?
It was windy and a little chilly, high of about 50 today.
Okay.
It was high of 48.
Oh, well, that's not. I think we're like, I don't know, it felt like 80 to me, but I think it was more like 65 to be realistic. But it was great, you know. Hey, you know, Kurt, a lot of things happened. I mean, we were down in Gettysburg. I forgot to tell everybody. We stayed at the Chestnut Hall B&B, did a little overnight investigation. That was like, it seemed like forever ago, like, because we hadn't talked. We had a little mishap with trying to get our UFO guy back on here, and I think the FBI was playing games with us.
Yeah, and then our guest last week apologized for a little, you know, it was a little misunderstanding, which is all well. But we will rebook both those guests, Michael Baker and Paul Shishi. We'll get them back
Paul
on.
Paul Shishi.
I think we're going to have special episodes of PI Radio just to bring them back on, I think.
All right, sounds good to me.
Maybe a weekend show. Sorry, go ahead, Bill.
Oh, no, just to make it real fast, we went to the Chestnut Hall B&B, and some stuff happened, I guess, you know, but nothing to write home about. But the one interesting thing, they had these remote motion sensors, so you kind of set these motion sensors up in different rooms, and they had a receiver, so if one of them tripped, you could say, oh, sensor one went off, the little light would go off, or two or three. So they kept having this motion sensor upstairs kept going off, and I did have a video camera up there, but haven't looked at the footage yet. But that was interesting, and they got that at the Ghost Hunter store. It was really neat. It's just this cool. Three little wireless things. And then we actually did an investigation. We went to this lady's house. The house wasn't really haunted. It was more the woman. I was really interested because this woman, like, everything they said, the psychic said to her, she was just like, boom, you know. But on to better things. I quit smoking. It's been a week and a day. Maybe that's why we didn't have a show last week because.
And how you feeling?
It's better.
I think they say the first 72 hours are the roughest. If you can get through the first 72 hours, you can do it.
Oh man, I was ready to rip some heads up and spit them out. You know.
Chew some ass.
I feel a lot better. I mean, it's a little bit in the morning, but then. You know, by the end of the day, I don't feel as tense, you know.
Awesome. That's awesome. I mean,
And the last thing, I'm sorry, Kurt, I'm taking up. I feel like we haven't talked forever.
I know, it's been 2 weeks.
Man. So, and the last thing is, you know, my dog passed away last week. I must have had him. He was over 15 years old, but I must have had him about 14 years.
Yeah, but they're
years.
Like family, though, so I'm sorry to hear
it's
that.
It's sad, you know. So I got one dog now, and she's kind of lonely, so I got to have to get another one, I don't know, but not too soon. Anyway, that's my story. That's my spiel. It was a busy week. Something new happened. Had an investigation for Wednesday, last Wednesday, just passed. So I call the people on Friday and say, hey, I need your address, and we're all set to come out. We had it all scheduled, come out 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. I call them on Tuesday and say, you know, we need, Tuesday, and I say, hey, we need your address, you know, nothing. Stone cold, stood up. So we had, you know, I didn't hear from them on Tuesday night, so I called it off. I called all the people and called it off. But that's probably the first time that we've actually had something scheduled.
Oh, that's...
And didn't have the address, and all ready to go, and then, you know, no word back, so I don't know what happened there. They seemed very, very interested, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Boo on them.
Booyah. All right, that's it for me. So I'm really excited to talk to Nick Corey. He's got some interesting things. He's down in Missouri. You know, I frequented Missouri when I was in the military. And I know you had some good times down in Missouri. My times were okay, you know, because I was...
I born and raised there, so I had fun in Missouri. But, yeah, we have a great show lined up, so let's get to the show. You ready, Bill?
Yeah, I'm ready, yeah.
Our guest tonight is Nick Corey from Jasper Hunt, and he's on the line with us. Nick, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you guys?
Good. How are you doing tonight?
We're good. We're dealing with an active haunting over at my girlfriend's house, which is pretty interesting.
Oh, wow. And, yeah, I mean, that makes it, you know, as a paranormal investigator, it's like...
Yeah, it's like landed the big fish or something. She moved into this house, and it's so active, I can't even sleep there. They keep me awake.
Oh, man.
This place.
See a little sense.
So I decided to set up some cameras, you know, to see what we could get, and... We're getting some crazy looking stuff on there.
Yeah,
it looked like an apparition of a puppy running out of the room. I put it up on YouTube. If you go to our website, you can hit the YouTube link.
All right.
And it's called Spirit Dog or Spirit Animal, because we weren't sure what type of, you know, spirit animal it was. But you can see like legs, and so I started filming, and we could see like orbs and stuff in the house, you know, out of the corner of our eye, we're seeing stuff. And then my girlfriend saw an apparition of a large dog. It looked like a German Shepherd. So that's what really got me to, you know, want to film there. But once I set up and we went over the footage, you'll see my dog run out, you know, of the room, and you'll see the cat to the right. And as this little spirit animal runs out, the cat notices it. And you see it right on the video. And it comes right out of that room. And then we're getting a lot of EVPs on video as well as the recorders.
That's
like
awesome.
Capturing it. That's weird because usually it doesn't have the same frequency between the two devices, you know. But we're getting these EVPs, and they're plain and simple. It's like we're walking out the door and this guy goes, pardon me, and no one's in the room with us.
That's great.
And it's so active over there.
Hey Nick,
crazy
So she just moved into this place. How recent is that?
She moved in November, and that's when everything started. As soon as she moved in, the activity started over there.
Now, did the prior tenants like leave any, you know, furniture or anything to say possibly where it could a spirit could attach itself to something that, you know, like maybe an old
piano?
There
was one table that the landlord decided to leave there for her. And I don't know if the last tenants used it or if she brought it over there, but it would be the only piece of furniture, you know, in the house that wasn't hers. And then an old lady that originally owned the house died in the house, and the landlords told her, they're from Pakistan, but they told her, they said they believe in spirits and they believe that she haunts the house, the lady that used to own it.
Now, hey Nick, let me backtrack a little bit. I just was curious because it seemed like you were trying to say that you're a little bit sensitive, but it wasn't too clear. So I didn't know if you're sensitive or your girlfriend is, and if you're able to pick
up.
Yeah,
I do channeling. My sister and I both do seances. We hold old fashioned kind.
Oh, nice.
We do, you know, like the old Victorian type, we have a bed and breakfast where we do seances. And so we're both sensitive, my sister and I. My girlfriend is as well. And, I mean, I'm a little too sensitive sleeping there. I can't. I try to sleep there twice, and they just, I mean, there's too much. So they're just talking all night, keeping me awake. I can't rest there. And so we, you know, viewing different pieces of footage that I've shot there, I can see why, because there's so much energy in that house. All different types of energy. You can see it on the camera. And so I kind of swallowed that. I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense now why I can't sleep at this place.
Yeah. So you're just shooting infrared, or you shoot anything else? I mean, night vision, I'm sorry. Yeah, infrared.
I'm just using I use the TRV-87, one of the older Sonys.
Yeah.
And I got a couple of IR lights I put on that. It was supposed to be the one that had the X-ray vision on it or something.
Well, your videos look a little bit more green, I would think, right, with that camera. Is that right?
Yeah, they're more of the green.
Yeah, I had a couple of them. They're not bad, though. They do the job.
Yeah, I like those, actually. I like the color a lot better than the newer one I have. I got one of those SR-42s, and it seems to be more gray.
Right.
And it kind of seems more grainy, too.
Yeah, that's true. I think the gain's turned up on them more, or something like to make them pick up that very low lux light.
Yeah, and the movement is so exaggerated on that new one. I don't hardly use it anymore. I really like these older ones.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Digital blue, though, have you used that one?
Don't know anything about it. You can be the first on PIR Radio to learn me.
Okay, there's this one they call the Digital Blue Night Vision. It's a handheld. The SD card goes in it, and it takes 4 AA batteries. And they sell them, like, at Toys R Us. They're supposed to be, like, a toy, a gimmick. And so Ghost Hunter started using these, and you can see it on the footage on YouTube. If you put in Digital Blue Night Vision, you can actually see how it films. It's a little handheld. Mm-hmm. It's kind of set up. It's got a little mini screen on there. It kind of reminds me of one of the, one of the old IR night visions. It's got a teeny tiny screen on it.
Okay.
And people that are using it, you know, there's controversy with it, but I've seen the footage and it doesn't look too bad. It's about as small as a fish finder, you know, one of them little handheld fish finders.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out on YouTube. Is it night vision?
Yeah, and you pull the trigger, I guess. Yeah, it's called Digital Blue Night Vision. And you pull the trigger, and you can have your stationaries, and then you can walk around with this thing on you, and it's just a handheld, which is pretty cool.
So what do you think this cost on the store there?
I looked at it today. It's $79.
Oh, that's not too bad, I mean.
But then you're thinking, well, these sort of Sony... night vision ones, then with tape, and I don't know how much the ones that write the cards are, but
my Sony with the hard drive costs $500.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Well, that's a big one. That's because it has
a 60 gigabyte hard drive.
You can put a 4 gig SD card in this little camera, and then the batteries run you, I think they said, 3 hours for the 4 AAs. It's lightweight.
But I'm sure you can put, you know, rechargeable and change them out when the batteries go dead.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I always say, Kurt? If Ghost Hunter's using it, it must be the real deal.
It's something to look into, though, you know. You know,
I have gone. I'm going to buy one.
Are you? Yeah. Let me know how it goes, because I know, because you have the huge camera. You have the nice, huge cameras.
I have a big one, yeah. That's a nice one. It's true. All right, I'm sorry, Nick. But that's good to learn
I'd
about
love
new
to
things.
Get on a- You know, I'd love to get on them HD night visions, but they're a little out of my ballpark right now.
they can be expensive. But you know what, Nick? Real quick, I mean, we jumped into a haunt, but let's get a little bit background information about you. What got you into the paranormal?
Actually, working alongside hospice when they were taking care of my grandfather got me into the EVP recordings, you know. He was telling me, through his death experience, all the things he was seeing, so I started recording, and I had always been drawn to it, and we have had mediums in our family. So we've always kind of been into that, but I really got into recording EVP back in 04 when he started going through his cancer battle. And I didn't start filming then. I was so into EVP, and, you know, once you get one, it's kind of addictive at first.
That is true.
And once you get used to them, it's like, oh, okay. But so in 04 is when I really got into it. And then, you know, White Noise came out in 05, which everybody really liked that when it first came out, the White Noise movie,
mm-hmm.
when it had the real EVPs and stuff on there. So I think I kind of went with that movement. Everybody was kind of going the same way then. But then I started writing books and dedicating to the spirit messages. So I've got a couple books out. One is The Many Messages, and it is for the spirit. And so I document all their messages, write it down, and then we published a book about EVP. And I've got a co-author that's an EVP specialist. She's 76 years old. She lives down in Las Vegas. Her name's Jackie Colligan. And she worked with Sarah Estep, which... You know who that is? That was with the AA EVP group.
I know the AA EVP group, but I don't know the lady offhand.
Yeah, Sarah passed away. I think it's been a couple years ago, but she helped with forming that group or something. Jackie was saying, so she was a part of that, and so Jackie's a part of it too. And then Jackie had been on Art Bell, and I got familiar with her work, and she's really good at analyzing, so she's taught me a lot. But since we moved, I moved from EVP into, I started channeling because I started hearing them without the recorder. So then I started getting with my sister, we started doing seance, just kind of going a little further with it. And just kind of tuned in to a different frequency to where I can actually hear them now. Which, that can be good and bad. It can drive you crazy sometimes.
True. Now I have.
But sometimes you'll say, am I really hearing this? You'll record to make sure you're not going crazy so you can hear them. So it's kind of a gift and a curse, I think.
When you knew that you could channel, did you have to learn how to turn it on and off? Because, some people say that they literally have to turn themselves off, or else they'd be up. They'd be wired for 72 hours straight, not being able to sleep because they're just so in tune to the spirit world.
Yeah, well, I actually have learned how to turn it off. Like, if I'm going to have a surgical procedure or something, I don't want to drag a bunch of people with me to it. So other than that, I'm probably like a light bulb turned on, and it's okay. I'll filter them through, but it's like I get used to them. Then I don't, they don't bother me as much, but if I'm trying to sleep, I'll tell them. And that's what I was taught by other mediums. If they come in, you're trying to rest, just tell them, I'll talk to you tomorrow, you guys need to chill out, just calm down, because we're all people. That's the way I was taught, mm-hmm. We're all people, and we need to respect them, and they need to respect us.
That's what Lori said too. She said it's just like, they understand that, they don't understand that they're being a pain in the ass when you're trying to sleep, but then when you express that to them, then they understand. It's just this is my zone, my limit for you, And when you give them that option to talk in the morning or talk, at noontime when you come home from work or whatever, they respect that, and it's kind of neat how that happens.
And we got another case that we've been called to. We're probably not going to go till May, but it was a little girl had committed suicide. It's been a few years back, I think. Like, it's been more than a few, probably like 10-plus years. I'm not sure about the date. I think it's 96, maybe. So maybe 15. She committed suicide. They don't know why she did it. Well, the people that bought the property back, because it used to be their family's, then these people rented it from them. They got it back now, and they said that it's very haunted. They believe this little girl is still in this house. Okay. And they said they believe there's another darker energy in there that's controlling the little girl, not letting her leave. Which I don't believe a place is really haunted. I believe, they're drawn to certain people, certain things, but I can't say I believe the energy just stays in one place all the time unless it's like a residual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If it's active, I think it can move. If it's intelligent and active, it's that's going to be able to move and flow.
What about like an attachment where it can attach? You know, you're saying it's a spirit, another spirit controlling another spirit, but what about a spirit attaching itself to a human?
I have experienced that, so you know, I believe if they are attracted to you, it can happen. You know, they can be with you a while. I had one with me 8 months, and she wasn't a bad spirit. You know, she wasn't a bad person, nothing. But she was attracted to me for some reason, and I didn't, like, cross her over, nothing like that. She just left one day, and we communicated back and forth for months. And it was crazy to have somebody kind of tag it along, and that's the only time I've ever experienced it. But I think, like, with what this lady was saying, she felt like this dark energy was controlling the little girl. I thought, well, maybe this spirit's convinced the little girl she can't leave. Maybe she believes that, kind of like we do over here, let people manipulate us, you know. Energy manipulation can be with the living as well as the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe it's something like that. That would make more sense to me than her just being stuck there because she committed suicide. Because
right.
They believe it's, you know, an act of haunting. They'll believe it's residual.
Right. We've had that situation on cases where there was... and I'm going to say a more dominant spirit, and history has proven itself that in his real, when this person was alive, that he was just a prick, you know, and he would manipulate these women. And when that opportunity happened for this guy, for this mother and daughter situation as spirits, that he actually, he was at home, and he was like, hey man, now I got these women that I used to dominate in the real world, here in the spirit world, and he actually had them in fear in the spirit world. And I don't know if that relates to this case or not, but I believe that to be true. Like, they can. And there's also, you know, I'm sure you're just as well aware, Nick, that there's also spirits that are on different planes or different time periods, and they don't cross each other, you know? They don't actually...
Yeah.
So, you know, two separate hauntings could be going on, and they don't even know, or they might know of the other one, but they don't bother each other, you know?
I believe that,
It's happened a lot to us. But.
I haven't experienced that, but I haven't been on very many investigations in about two years since my daughter's been born, but I totally agree with you guys. I mean, I'm sure it does happen.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense if they were controlling and you know, it's like, you know, if somebody's mean when they're alive, I think when they cross over, they'll be the same way over there. So that makes plenty of sense to me.
Yeah, I believe that.
They could be as controlling over there.
Yeah, I don't think anything changes. They might try to act a little bit different, but I think the true spirit comes through, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, one thing I found that is kind of strange is, like, I have chronic pain in my back, and the days that I have really bad pain, they say don't channel, you know, because you can connect to negative energies. Well, sometimes those negative energies connect to me when I'm sick or something like that, and it's taken about 3 days to get clear of them when they, I call it bump my energy, when they try to get in me or get on me, and they kind of taint my energy field, make me, you know, sicker than I was before. And it's like you can even feel their emotions, their thoughts, everything. And I've had 3 suicidal people, you know, that committed suicide come to me after they've crossed, and they show me why they did it, all this stuff, and all their emotions come through. And it's like, so I'm learning how to filter this negative energy and trying to separate myself from that when I'm feeling bad.
Now I have a question. When you have a spirit like that, that, you know, that's been crossed over, that comes and, you know, says that, you know, they committed suicide and they tell you how to do it, how do you say that to, like, let's say if you had a client and you knew this was to a client of yours, I think I would have a really tough time presenting evidence to that, you know. I mean, how does one, I mean, I'm not very sensitive, I'll admit it. I think I block it out, and I don't know why. I can't explain. I don't think I'm not very...
Chakras, so we got to get them ladies to do remote healing for you.
But how would you go about, explaining, you know, to a client what you've
most
channeled?
Most of them I tell them up front that I have mediumship abilities, you know, to connect to different energies, but I don't make any promises. So up mm-hmm. front they know that in case I do connect with who they're trying to connect with. And what this woman is wanting me to do, which I've made no promises, she wants me to cross this little girl over. But see, I don't know that she's not already crossed. You know, a lot of people think they're earthbound spirits, they're stuck here. I don't believe that way. So everybody has their own belief system, you know?
True.
So when she said she believes she's stuck, I believe it would be more of energy manipulation, the other spirit dominating her, like you were saying. Not that she hasn't crossed over into the invisible, you know, and all that. I don't believe because you commit suicide you're going to a hell or anything like that. So it's hard for me to go into it looking at it like that. But I try to be open-minded and see through the client's eyes. And I've had a couple times where spirits pushed me to contact the living, which is kind of uncomfortable because you don't know how they're going to react. Just pick up the phone and say, hi. I'm getting messages from the dead, and I need to tell you about it. You know, I've had a couple people freak out. One lady was really cool about it, but so I'm used to doing this. So as long as I tell them up front what I do, you know, on both sides of it, with the invisible people and with the people here, I feel a little more comfortable. But it kind of...
I'm going to reflect on that a little bit, because I tell you what happened. Even this house that we were just at two Wednesdays ago, this woman... knew, there was no doubt in my mind, in her mind, in our minds, that there was something going on. And we absolutely knew, the psychics knew, that this was not a haunting of the house, because they just moved in this house a year ago or so, under a year. And mm-hmm. and she actually, the things that were said to this woman compelled her, she knew right away that we were the real deal. Well, not me, I'm not psychic, but our team was the real deal. And I think when that happens for you, you know, when you tell these people, here's the deal, and here's what they're saying, and here's the thing that the spirit always wants to say something that nobody else would know, to make sure that these people know that the living know.
Yeah, give them confirmation.
This is and that's when you know. And when that hits, you know, it's like a light switch goes off, the jaw drops, the you know, they want to know more, you know, the whole investigation
yeah.
changes. And I'm sure you had that experience too, where everything gets a little bit more kicked up, like the Emerald says, you know, he's going to kick it up a notch and boom.
Yeah.
Bam, bam.
Oh, bam, I'm sorry, boom.
You got it wrong, Bill. Sorry.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, what I've learned with these spirit people is, like, somebody will push, you know, even at a seance to connect to a certain person, but I tell them straight up, I'm on a different frequency and vibration than your loved one, so I don't know that I can connect with them, but through my spirit group, I'm going to try. And so I make no promises who comes through, but we always have someone come through, you know. But and I like to do it that way. That way, if we do connect, that's cool, but we can't always get the one. Some of them, I believe, are at different levels of vibration to where they're not messing with me. You know, they're not listening to me. They're not wanting to mess with this. The 1, 2, and 3 anymore, you know, they're in the 4th, 5th, and 6th day. So I believe in different levels of spirit energy, you know, where they get to different vibrational frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
And I'm able to connect to certain ones, and then
Nick,
again,
I'm going to give you what I tell the clients when I'm talking to them on the phone. This is my best analogy, and you're more than welcome to steal it from me. I tell them, you have 2 or 3 psychics, who are like a radio, they can tune in. And we have these spirits
yeah.
who are on radio stations. So we have the radio and the radio station. There's multiple radio stations, and there's multiple ways to tune in. And I said, these psychics actually, when they're in tune with the spirit, it's like they tuned into the same radio station. One's singing and one's listening. And that's what I tell these,
mm-hmm.
these, and when I say it that way, they kind of get an understanding that you could
yeah.
be on any station and there could be no music. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh.
So, you know.
But, hey,
now,
guys.
You guys.
Hey, guys, real quick.
Have that happen with EVP? Have you, like,
once.
Gotten an EVP
and
everybody hears something different?
Not so. Well, that's sort of like the matrix of the audio. But I think Kurt wants to take a little break, and then we'll get into the EVPs when we get back.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I love EVP. I'm an EVP person. But before we get into that, we're going to take a real quick break. If you can hang on real quick, Nick, that'd be awesome. Alrighty, folks, you're listening to PIR Radio tonight. Tonight's guest is Nick Corey. He's from Jasper Haunts. The website is www.jasperhaunts.com. If you get a chance, please visit their website, and we'll be right back after these messages.
PIR Radio will be right back after these messages.
Are you a paranormal radio show host? Your podcast not getting enough hits, and you want more? There is a brand new solution for you. A free podcast directory for your paranormal listening needs. Visit Parapods at www.parapods.com. That's www.parapods.com.
Haunted Voices Radio Network welcomes our newest affiliate, Pro Paranormal Radio Online, helping to bring you the best paranormal experience. Check out Pro today by going to ParanormalRadioOnline.com for showtimes and a chat area to chat with other paranormal listeners. While there, check out the Encore shows where you can listen to many different shows and hosts, and their podcasts that you may have missed during the week. Check out live shows and special broadcast shows that are live on location with special events. All of this and so much more can be found on ParanormalRadioOnline.com. It's about the paranormal, and it's all here for you. Once again, Haunted Voices Radio Network welcomes our newest affiliate, Pro Paranormal Radio Online. Check them out today. And as always, thanks for listening to the Haunted Voices Radio Network.
And now, back to your regularly scheduled program on PIR Radio.
All right, we're back with PIR Radio live on the Paranormal Radio Online Network. We also stream our simulcast to the People's Paranormal Radio Network over there. Welcome aboard, everyone listening live, and to all our podcast listeners. It's been 2 weeks since we had a show, and everything's going smooth. We're having a fun time with our guests tonight, Nick. But don't forget, check out PIR Radio's website, www.pirradio.com, for upcoming guests, podcast information, forum, and a whole bunch of information. So check it out. I have my co-host with me, Bill, as always. What's up, Bill?
You know, chilling here in Philly.
There you go. That's what it's all about. Chilling with the grilling. You're not grilling, are you?
Not yet. Soon, though.
I know. I'm starving for some barbecue.
Oh, so when I come out to Illinois, I should expect the grill to be hot, huh?
Oh, yeah. We'll have some chicken and corn and onions on the barbecue pit.
Onions? How do you do the onions?
Wrap it in foil and put it on the charcoal.
Whole onion?
Uh-huh.
You have to learn me this one now.
I'll teach you it. It's good.
All right. Thank you.
But you were mentioning EVPs before we were going to break.
Yeah, we were setting up a seance one night and had some recorders on the table. We put one on the table with us during the seance and one behind us. And then, you know, we had a video camera set up. And upon playback, the one behind us captured voices, but everything else was silent. And so we got to thinking, are these spirits choosing their way into the living? I mean, are they able to say, okay, I'm going to go to that, or I'm going to go to the medium, or I'm going to go to that recorder? You know, are they choosing their tunnel, you know, their way to us through these different frequencies and vibrations? What do you guys think about that?
No.
Because nothing else record a voice is only one item in the room.
Yeah. Now, you know, and I'm going to go back to the same thing. I don't know. Some people say, like, Kurt always likes his device, and there's other recorders and this and that and the other thing. But it's there's situations where I've heard stories at Fort Mifflin and other places where two people could be standing right next to each other, mm-hmm. and there's a screaming woman, and the one person says, oh, my God, can you hear that? And the other person says, no, what? And I don't think the recorders are any different than these spirits choose what and who. I don't think it's the what. I think it's the who. Who's holding it or who they can connect to better. And they focus, you know, they direct that. But I don't know. That's my theory.
You know, I think this is kind of a dumb question, but doesn't each recorder record at a different level? Or are they all tuned to the same frequency?
I I think the cheaper ones, you know, can record a wider range of frequency. Meaning,
yeah, probably so. They all did a different one, but I'm not sure what's higher, what's lower.
But I think the more expensive one, it's going to try to eliminate some of that crappier sounds to make a better quality recording. And you know, some cheap one, maybe like this Digital Blue Night Vision, in that sense of video and not audio, it's just opening up the spectrum more because I don't care what let all the darkness in and see the night vision. And that's my theory, but.
I think everything has to be tried, though. I mean,
oh yeah.
To me, you know, if you take a look now in the paranormal field compared to 2-3 years ago, I think there's a lull in it. I think there's, I mean, you had your EVPs and your camcorders, but I haven't seen really much of a breakthrough in technical equipment. You know that's affordable. I mean, you can go out there and buy. Good God, you can buy. Equipment, it can cost you thousands and thousands of dollars, but I don't think a lot of, if you talk to a lot of the groups out there, they don't have a lot of money, you know, so, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why these little, they call them the little kid cameras, they come in handy, and people are, I mean, they're using them. There's two different kinds that Toys R Us are selling. They're both night vision. One's a little handheld, just looks like a regular HD camcorder, and the other one's the other handheld that takes the SD card that looks more like a, you know, I thought it looked kind of like a fish finder, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's like the radios that people can, you can actually, you know, where you have the hack shacks and the radios, you know, you can get those pretty cheap, and you can go on the YouTube and see how people hack them to where you have, you know, you have a spirit box and you can do EVP sessions and, you know, run hack sessions with there, just to experiment with that. Does your group use the, I call them hack shacks or spirit boxes or Frank's boxes?
Mine doesn't, no. We've got two mediums on the group, so they kind of depend on us. We've had so much controversy with spirit boxes, and we were around Chrisman when he was using the Frank box, and music was coming through and stuff, so we just kind of decided it was picking up too many different frequencies for us.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, I don't doubt they come through it because my co-author, she loves her Frank Fox.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only concern I have is when you're using like these hack checks and all that. How do we know exactly if it's a spirit or if it's just a broken piece of, you know, random? You're getting lucky, you know, radio station coming through. I mean, mm-hmm. I'd like to see.
Well, like he said, you know, they're coming through just like the on the different stations. It's like a radio station, so. I'm sure they are coming through. It's pretty good mix on the spirit box.
Now I have to ask. I know we got a little bit of information about yourself, but when did you form your group, Jasper Hunts?
2007.
And do you keep your group at a certain number of people, or is it just, or do you allow?
Yeah, I've always had a smaller group. It works better for us when we're interacting with the spirits. I've had about 4 to 5 people on my groups. I've had two different groups in this last group of people that I've had. I've had them a long time.
And
it seems to work better, you know, 2 to 3, maybe 5 at the most for us.
Does your group specialize in, like, residentials, or do you do historical locations as well?
Yeah, we do both. And we leave it up to the owners if they want us to channel, because we will channel for them as well. You know, while we're on investigation, we use equipment and channel.
Do you encourage the, like if you're doing a residential, do you encourage the homeowner to participate? Because a lot of times the homeowner can actually draw out the spirit if they're there compared to if they're not there. And mm-hmm. I know some people want to. And some groups don't want the homeowners there, but I think it'd be a benefit because they can actually draw the spirit out.
Yeah, we've had success with that, you know, where we will let them interact. I'll even set up a camera and have them talk to them and see if they can bring them out. And we had one house where they did interact with the owners through the camcorder, and we could actually see spirit energy moving in the room. And so then I would step in and start talking, you know, and then I'd bring the family members in to see what was going on. So, yeah, we've done that. And even with the business owners, we've done some interacting with them.
And I know your part of Missouri can be, you know, is down towards Springfield and all that. How do people react in that part of Missouri? Are they very religious? Do they see that what you do is taboo? Or do you go out there and where you can educate them and you know we're not.
Yeah, we hold events once a year. You know, it's mind, body, and spirit. It's metaphysical fairs once a year where the open-minded public will come in and interact with us, and we have different things for them. And so we're pretty well known around the four-state area, our group, because we are open-minded and we will interact with different open-minded people. And it doesn't matter their religion. We will respect whatever it is when we go into their house, and they know that. And there's a lot of open-minded Christians that count on us to do things as well.
And especially when it comes to, like, residentials, you want to keep that information private, like, because you don't want, they might not want to know, you know, that their neighbors down the street, you know, say, you know, knowing that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's up to the owner. If they don't want us to post, like, say we get something, I always leave it up to them. I give them a copy of it on DVD, and if they want it to remain private, then it's between us and them. But if they want it to go on YouTube, you know, that's up to the owner. And
are there a lot of groups in your down in the I guess that's the southwest part of Missouri?
Yeah, there is. I mean, here in Joplin, there's like five groups, I think.
And do you guys all get along together? Do you guys, like, you know?
Well, they're more scientific based. They're not psychic based. I mean, we have one guy that kind of does the scientific stuff on our team, you know. He's more agnostic, but we do bounce things off science, but we are all spiritual, and we all believe in the spirit realm, so we're not always out to debunk something. I mean, if something's going on, we'll try to figure out what's causing it, but we're not, you know, constantly debunking, saying that it doesn't exist, because we know it does.
Right, right. So you were mentioning before about getting an EVP that was also on the audio recorder and the video camera, and that was kind of, that happened to us once, but I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that more, because that is an interesting phenomenon when it happens.
Yeah, it's only happened to us a few times where we actually captured on both devices. And we actually captured it on the camcorder and the EVP recorder. We just had a little Sony. It's one of the, I think it was a PS210. It's one of the older Sony's digital voice recorder. And it's saying the exact same thing. I mean, you can hear everything. And then you hear this, "Oh, pardon me," and it's as I'm walking out the door, as if he was trying to stop me and say, "Oh, pardon me," you know, like he's wanting to talk to us. Well, last night, because this happened 2 weeks ago that we did this, last night she called me about 1 o'clock in the morning and said that she heard a thump. So she got up, and there's a table, the table that I was telling you about that is from that house. The table was flipped over, and the plant that was on the table was gently put into the chair beside the table, but the table was flipped over. And it's one of those round glass top tables. So she walked in there, and she was kind of freaked out when she saw it. She's like, "What is going on?" Because there was no dirt on the floor, and her son was asleep. So we're trying to figure out how this table get knocked over and how the plant get in the chair. You know, I said it couldn't have been the storm, you know. Storm's not going to shake the house and the plant gently move into the chair. There would have been dirt all over the house, you know, in that room, if it had spilled over. I mean, it flipped.
Well, I wonder what, I guess this table is an issue. I mean, you know, if somebody, as Lori always says, my leader, who she doesn't like to be called the leader, but she's the leader of the group, she says, why would they leave that behind, or why did they leave that behind, or, you know, and she'd always try to think about it as people just don't leave stuff behind typically because they want to clean out or whatever and throw out, or but sometimes they just leave things like this I don't know, I'm going to call it
energy imprints, you know, in items like that where you can actually touch it and you can feel the spirit energy that was attached to it or that is attached to it.
Yes.
And it may be something was left over. You know, you never know what people are doing, what kind of rituals and stuff like that that they're doing in these houses or what they're drawing in. And I'm a firm believer, you know, if we knew the people before, it would give us a little bit more knowledge about why the spirits are acting like they are in the house.
Yeah, you know, there are people that, in fact, will open up. I don't really believe in this what do they call it? Not the vortex, but like this is a hole for, you know, all these spirits come through. I don't believe in that. I believe that something can happen, but I don't believe that there's like spots where this happens. But that's just my personal belief.
I think they're everywhere.
I think
people, you know. So I agree with you there.
They can just cross over.
I believe like Conjuring, you know, say you get a Ouija board out. The Ouija board's not bad. It's what you're going to put into it, I think. If you're going to put negative energy into it.
Yeah, you were going right there. And I think we've been discussing that in the last couple of weeks. Would you say, Kurt, that the Ouija board, as scary as it might sound or seem to people, it's when you use it properly.
Yeah, I mean, there's a proper way and an incorrect way.
Yeah, and it's no different.
Yeah.
It's a tool. It's no different than your recorder.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the other thing was.
It's no different than tarot cards, any of the
tarot. That's right, exactly. Thank you very much. That was my, you know, these are all the same tools, and they can be misused and do the same thing.
Right.
It's up a channel or a connection to the other side, and you don't really know who you're talking to sometimes when they're trying to, you know, feed you.
And so many people are afraid of them. They always ask me, that's one of the first questions these people ask me, what do you think about a Ouija board? I said, I think it's a piece of wood, and I think it's what you put into it. I'm not afraid of them. I've used them. Parker Brothers sells them. You know, people make them. I said, I can make you a spirit board right now. And if you've got negative intentions, then I believe you'll get negative energy back.
Right.
If you have positive, you'll get positive back. But I believe in karma. I believe this way. So,
well, John,
you know, that goes along with
John from Haps in the chat room just says it's no different than using a ghost box. I know you don't use them, but it's anything,
yeah,
that any tool, any device. And I absolutely write. You can write letters or symbols or names on a piece of paper and use a shot glass or a rock, and there's a Ouija board of sorts. You know, it doesn't have to be a board. It doesn't have to spell. I mean, it could just be symbols. It could be anything. And that, you know.
Now, we've used that Ghost Radar app, you know, on the iPhone.
I've heard about that.
Now,
didn't you have that?
Yep, I have.
We've used that. It's kind of neat because it, you know, spells out words and EVPs kind of start coming through. And we've matched it up with different places we are, different names and stuff that comes through it. Now, some people say it's just an app, but sometimes it's worked for us. So, you know, that's one of those things that it's different, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it's way off. Like, I mean, we were nowhere near Philadelphia. It would say, like, Philadelphia and some other things, and that kind of threw us off a little bit and made us wonder.
If you buy the Ovilus, it says on the back of it, no joking, that it's for entertainment purposes only.
Well, that's because
they're expensive.
Really? You don't want to get sick.
Yeah, I was reading. One was like $600, and I thought, whoa.
Wow.
$600.
Dang, that's one paycheck almost. Almost two-thirds of a paycheck, I would say.
Yeah. No, that's only about, you know, I could buy 10 of them each week, you know, with my paycheck. I'm just kidding.
I know, because you work for M. Night Shyamalan.
Night, right.
Yeah, we're still trying to get him on PIR radio.
I mean, it wrap up with that statement there, all right? All right.
Well, something that is cool that I forgot to mention was when we were doing the large seance at that bed and breakfast I told you about. I channeled the guy that had been electrocuted, and the energy flowed through my body so strongly the people at the table could feel it, and we left energy imprints behind in this table, and it's a gigantic old-fashioned table, and the owners thought at first it was like oil from our fingers or something that had gotten into the table, and they've cleaned it and cleaned it, and this print is still deep in there. They can't get them out, and it just felt like it's almost like it burned it in there. That moment. And so we post everything, and I didn't think much about it until that My Ghost Story contacted us, right? They were interested in the story about what happened out of Prosperity, bed and breakfast. And so they brought their cameraman out there, and he wanted to see this handprint. So he's, like, filming, you know, where he could see it. Mm-hmm. And we kind of reenacted a seance for him. And they're going to actually show the footage of the apparition we got out there. We got a full-bodied apparition out there.
Wow.
And there's little children that we've interacted with at this place. But it's a highly active for, it was an old Civil War artillery place before it was a school. And then they built a school in 1907. This place is really active. So a lot of people come from different places and stay at this place just so they can try to get a ghost, you know. So it's kind of a cool old place.
It sounds very active too. But now, you know, talking about all the investigations and, you know, these places. Where would you like to see the paranormal field, yourself in the paranormal field in the future?
I hope that they could come up with, you know, like that optic nerve. Have you seen that? That device that does all the recording. It's supposed to do audio, video, EMF, temperature. Have you guys seen that?
No, but that sounds interesting. It's sort of like at the hospital with all the things going across it, you know, the pulse and the temperature. And
yeah, they call it like optic nerve. And
all right.
I'm hoping that someone can come up with something, you know, like that, and it could prove to be a great tool for us. You know, something that does it all so we don't have to maybe have so much different equipment around. Maybe we can put it all into one, save us some time and energy. So we can be more focused.
I know that people are trying, like wireless computer systems where you can hook up cameras. I'm sure you can, but like different sensors to track temperature, EMF, and it all plugs in. I'd like to see something like that, but I'm sure it would cost a lot of money to where you could plug, you know, temperature, EMF, humidity, barometric pressure. I mean, you name it. It could just log everything.
Should be an app for that, you know?
There is a guy that's creating all different kinds of ghost hunting tools. I don't remember his name, but it's UFOgeek.com, I think. And I met him out in California briefly. But he was saying he's developed all these new ghost hunting tools.
Yeah, he's the guy. Isn't UFO Geek the guy that you YouTube and you can see him showing you how to hack different radios too, I think?
Yeah, it's that older guy. He's known for this video right now that was a cryptic video where he's in a mausoleum or something and this crypt moves. I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's that same guy. And he filmed it, and this crypt door comes up and it's like moving and stuff. And they were making a big deal out there about that.
I'll have to YouTube that, but UFO, I'll definitely YouTube that. I'd like to see. I love watching different. Maybe you can upload it to Haunted too, Bill.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you should try to put some stuff on Haunted Tube if you want to, Nick.
Haunted Tube. Okay, I'll write that down.
Right, yeah. So, I think we got to kind of wind down here, but Troy, you usually do this, so if I screw it up,
I'll find you. I'll monetarily fine you.
Okay, you'll just beat me down. Hey, Nick, if there's any shout-outs that you want to give to your people that might be listening and want to listen, and also don't forget ways people can contact you and your websites if you have a Facebook and or your webpage.
Yeah, jasperhaunts.com is how you can contact us, and our YouTube link is there. And also, I wanted to let you guys know, April 23rd, we will be on the Bio Channel. It'll be My Ghost Story, and they'll actually show the Prosperity clip.
I love that.
And,
there'll
be a Fort Scott clip as well of a shadow ghost.
All right.
That's the Bio. I get the Bio Channel too. I know.
Yeah,
I
it'll be the Bio Channel, April 23rd, and it's 9 Central, and then 10 Eastern time. And I think it's 119 if you have Dish Network.
I have U-verse. I love U-verse. I would have Dish Network, but we live in an apartment right now, and we don't face south. So it's like, I love
it. But it should be pretty interesting because I'm going to have two clips on there. I thought it was kind of cool. They contact us off YouTube.
Oh, awesome. And,
so YouTube gets you out there, I guess, you know?
Oh, that's awesome. I should post some stuff up there, huh?
Yeah, Bill,
I would.
Bill, you already have your name in a couple movies, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But, so Nick, and you're in the southeast part of Missouri?
Southwest.
Southwest.
West.
Oh, that's a $10 fine,
yeah.
Bill.
Yeah, and I bet you guys down there, I mean, with the gas prices and people don't understand that when you have to travel an hour, 2 hours driving each way, how much that affects the bottom dollar for this. And I don't know if you guys charge, but, you know, we don't charge up here, and it really traveling affects.
Yeah, we don't charge for the paranormal.
Right. That's good. I'm glad
for
to know.
For the seances, yeah. When we do the channeling, like the large seances, we charge. And we give them a DVD, you know, a copy of the seance on DVD.
That's awesome.
Which is kind of cool.
So that's a lot of energy, a lot of driving, a lot of expense.
Yeah, we take donations. You know, if somebody wants to help with gas or something, we take donations, but we won't charge paranormal stuff.
I think that's like 90% of all groups out there, which is commendable because you're out there helping people. You're trying to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some.
We're helping people on both sides of it, I guess.
True.
There are some people that want to charge you like $1,000 for just the little thing, you know.
That's
so
crazy. I'm just going to keep my eyes shut about that.
You've heard of the Pythian Castle up there in Springfield, Missouri, right?
I don't know.
They are charging $1,000 for ghost hunters to go in there with, I think it's called Task Force or something.
Oh.
Some paranormal group up at St. Louis.
Was that where wasn't that castle like on one of the movies they made? Children of the Grave or something?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, what happens when you have a thing on TV, they see that they can make money and they just charge an absorbent amount. But that's another show. But, you know.
They each their own, right? That's their karma.
But we need to start winding down here. So, Nick, do you have any shout-outs before we get off the air here?
No, just if anybody's interested in, you know, skyfish, rods, anything crazy, crypto, zoology, paranormal, check out our YouTube. You can see some of our skyfish on there, too.
Definitely. I'll definitely have to check that out. I don't know much about skyfish.
I try to explain it the best of my knowledge, but it's one of those things that's kind of out there, you know, UFO type stuff.
Yes, I'm gonna do a little research, but if you don't have any more shout outs, we need to get off the air here. So
okay, well, thank you guys.
Thanks so much, Nick.
Yeah, we really appreciate you taking an hour to spend with us on PI Radio. We really appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. And what I'll do is I would say give me about a half hour, 45 minutes, and I'll have the podcast edited and I'll have it up, and I will send you a link to the podcast, so if you want to send it on to all your friends or post it on your website or whatever, you're more than welcome to, and it'll be posted on. We'll have it up on our website,
thank
too.
You.
And hopefully in the future, you know, maybe down the road in the summer, we can, you know, have you back on. You can talk about some of your investigations since you were last on, and we can get
talk about some skyfish.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's something that we've never had on PR Radio. So maybe we can keep that and have you back on and just get a little, you know, feedback on how the TV show, the Bio Channel show went. Definitely.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Oh, you're welcome. We really appreciate it, and you have a wonderful night, Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
You too.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, Bill, we survived an hour of PAR radio.
You know what, Kurt? And there wasn't that windy sound, so I guess whatever they did to your U-verse, and you always blame me, actually.
I just got kicked out of Pro, though. I'm still going, though, on PPRN and my archive.
Yeah. Hey, what's wrong with that?
So, John, probably something probably kicked us out or something. It's okay though, but
I'm still in there. Anyway, you're still in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever.
Yeah, I stopped the encoder.
So I want to wrap it up. I forgot to tell you that I saw a very inspirational movie called the Justin Bieber movie.
Oh, God.
So I'm going to watch it because I showed it to M. Night Shyamalan and his two daughters the other night, and yeah, it was pretty cool. So I got a chance to talk to him. A couple films coming up for him. Night Chronicles. You know, I told you to go see Devil. You didn't see it, did you?
Not yet. I will. I will, though.
$10. Anyway, so they're making another one called Resurrection, and he said he was making that's. He just wrote the overview. Somebody else is directing it. Somebody else is.
Well, hopefully you can get M. Night on PIR Radio. That's a dream.
I'm going to try, but he's working on another film. He didn't tell me the title, but he's writing and directing it.
10, 15 minutes, that's all. It would be awesome.
I'm going to try to get him on the radio, and then, you know, I asked him for a job on the film. So he said, have your people contact my people. So I just emailed his secretary and said, hey.
Right on.
Let's see what's going on. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know when or whatever, but we'll see.
You know who we have on next week?
Lori Hall.
There we go. We're going to talk about a new book.
I got it right if I keep saying her name each week.
We're going to talk about a new book, Supernatural PA, and I think we'll be giving away a signed copy of it, I believe. I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to confirm that.
Okay.
But
we will give away a signed copy. I can guarantee that.
Okay, it's guaranteed. Bill's guaranteeing a signed copy of Supernatural PA. But you got any shout-outs before we go, Bill?
That's it. Just to Justin Bieber. And I'm going to recommend that you go see it, Kurt. That's two movies I recommend, The Devil and Justin Bieber. And I want people to write back to...
I might go see The Devil, but I don't know. I might have
to... It's going to be on cable soon, so hook it up.
I'll think about it.
Look it up, man. Look it up on channel, you know, E52 or whatever, you know.
Okay, I'll try. But
that's it for me. Thanks, Kurt. I'm glad it went so well. The sound was great.
Yeah.
Everything went smooth.
Absolutely. Knock on wood for next week. So until next week, hopefully Nick got his paranormal radio experience because we always
keep it paranormal.
On PRO and PIR. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to PIR Radio. Come back every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the ASPRN Radio Network and the PRO Radio Network to get the very best in paranormal radio on the Internet. Please visit our website at www.pirradio.com. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal Radio Network and www.hauntedtube.com.